great future. We're talking real money.
Hi, everybody. How are you? Good to be with you. Spend a little time talking about something really important. We call it money. You probably call it, I don't know, money, too, I guess. You're an American. Well, I think almost everybody calls it money in some way or another. This is Talking Real Money. I'm Don McDonald, and Tom and I are trying to do our little connections from opposite places, from my studio in Florida and from his studio in the Seattle region. And we can't get him to connect for some reason. So I'm going to talk to you for a while. And today, in this episode of Talking Real Money, there was a study done recently that showed that more people believed they understood cryptocurrency than understood what stocks are. And I found that shocking. I was shocked that more of you misunderstand stocks then think you misunderstand cryptocurrency. I don't understand cryptocurrency all that well, but I do get stocks. So we're going to go back to the basics. Let's do a little basics here today on Talking Real Money and define terminology. Because I've noticed through calls that people confuse the term stock and a mutual fund. A stock is very, very simply a share of ownership in a corporation. It is a tiny little piece of a business. It actually represents ownership of the business. We're going to make it more confusing. We're talking about common stock now. Of course, Wall Street confuses things and they have more kinds of stock. But common stock is the one that we deal with the most. That's that share of Microsoft or Amazon or Apple or Tesla that you might own if you're a speculative investor. And that is what trades on the exchanges, minute to minute, weekday to weekday. We'll talk more about this in a minute. 855-935-TALK is our phone number.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Welcome back to school. I'm Professor McDonald, and we have with us, visiting into classroom, Professor Thomas C. Cock, ladies and gentlemen.
I think I'm going to have to give back my PhD. I'll just take
my PhD.
Maybe an AA or just maybe one of those things that says I showed up for a week or something. Yeah.
Take what you can get. It's called a certificate of achievement.
There you go. Yeah. I'll take one of those. Stamp it on
means,
there.
Means you finished the race. Yeah, you didn't do well, but you finished.
As my dad, the doctor, once said, no one ever asked him what his grades were in medical school. So I guess.
You know, that is a very
D
good
for
point.
Degree. D for degree.
So anyway, throughout today's program, we are going to talk a little bit about the basics of money, like what a stock is, which I just mentioned to you earlier. I'm not going to tell you what a preferred stock is because you don't need to know. It's on a need to know basis.
You gave him the results of this survey that I just find shocking.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean the 29% of investors they don't understand cryptocurrency, but 40% say they don't understand stocks and bonds.
I don't believe that. Actually, I don't believe the results because
I think if
you quiz them on crypto, they would go, "Yeah, it's that thing." You know that thing that's that thing that does that thing.
Yeah. Well, I asked my 14-year-old daughter today, and she knew what stock was.
Not fair. That does not count.
What do you mean? Come on.
Osmosis, just from the just the sweat.
Goes right up.
Yeah,
right
you've
up,
got
right
like financial knowledge from your pores.
Fair enough. But you got to, I mean, please, really, because there's so many people that just say, well, I don't want to know any. I don't know. There's a couple of pretty basic stocks and bonds. That's not hard to know.
No, and I just explained what stocks were. And the difference between stocks and a stock mutual fund is that the stock mutual fund owns stocks.
Yeah, people all the time say, well, I own stocks and mutual funds. Well, not unless you want to, as you pointed out, own risky individual equities. The stock should be in mutual funds or in exchange traded funds. Very quickly, I know we're going to go to the phones, but bonds?
Yeah.
It's easy. It's an IOU.
It's a debt.
That's it.
It's like your credit card backwards.
Obligation. There you go. Yeah. Somebody owes you that money at an interest rate at a period of time. That's it. It's no more complex. Are there all kinds of different ones? And yeah, but at the end of the day, there's a huge difference between what a stock is and what a bond is.
Big difference. Good job. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you agree with me that Tom deserves an honorary doctorate from the Museum of Model Military Aircraft.
Thank you. And we'll talk about yesterday's aircraft visits here when time allows. So
is money involved?
Actually, I do have a money lesson out of it.
Wow,
of course I do.
That's pretty cool. Okay.
Shocker.
I can't believe it, but we'll see. He's going to stretch.
Yeah, I always do.
855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it is absolutely, without doubt, Lynn's turn on this show. Lynn, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Lynn.
Hey, Lynn.
All right, can you hear me?
Yep.
Uh-oh. Okay.
No, we can.
My husband recently passed away, and I called in before about what to do with money. And you gave me a number to call and get a fiduciary, and I did. They gave me three people to talk to. I picked one of the three who was older than my son. The other two were just too young for me. And now I don't know what to do. People give me advice about who I should go to, what I should do, and I have a list of questions, and who knows if they're answering honestly. But and then someone told me not to go with the people you like. Well, that didn't sound right either. So
please, Lynn, go with the people you hate. It's always the better. The better relationship is with someone you despise.
Stop it.
That's really goofy advice.
I know I don't want an annuity.
You don't?
I'm 76. Huh? I don't want an annuity. And I don't want to invest all my money in one place. I've done that and lost it. And I don't want to buy bonds because I've done that and lost it with the fiasco with Washington State and the nuclear reactors. And, you know...
The whoops bonds? That's going back a few years. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, what do you do now? That's the question. To whom are you talking, this fiduciary? Is that
us? Give us a name.
It's Pure Financial in Seattle, and her name is Rachel Fuse.
We did not give you that name.
We didn't give that name because we don't know that name.
Oh, okay.
We did not give you that name for sure.
Don's going to go look at the list that we offer up. So unless you... So you must have called someone else. They gave you that name, which is fine. I mean, if they're 100% fiduciary, then, you know, you're on the right track. Again, but just maybe help me understand the money that you're talking about. Is this money that you're living off of right now?
No, I have about $7,000 a month in pensions and Social Security.
Okay.
So this other money is...
Okay, is for next generation charity, some other purpose, or if an emergency comes along.
No, I want to spend it. It's my money.
She wants to spend it.
All right. Well, that's I do encourage people to do that, definitely, because as you correctly pointed out, it's your money. And it sounds like so that would be number one. Number two is it sounds like you need someone to help you. I'm getting that notion. That's fine. There are people that will do it. There are people that will treat you fairly. The question is for you, finding that person. And I think you did mention that you're in the Puget Sound region, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, Don, you're looking at the list again, or you can't find the list?
No, actually, I'm looking at the firm. I'm looking at the firm to get a better feel for what this firm does. This is a bigger firm. It's a
national.
Big firm. It's a big national firm, based out of San Diego. And
yeah, I know the name. I think they have a radio show too, actually. So
That may very well be. This is the first time I've ever looked them up. Their fees are on the relatively high side, a little high. They start at 1.6%. Then they go up to 1.25%, and then they go up to 1%, and then they go up to 80 basis points, and then 70. I guess at a million, it's probably averaging.
Can I make a simpler suggestion here?
Yeah, of course.
And you know we don't like to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
Because I want to make sure that you're going to be taken care of properly.
Yeah.
Call me.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because this is going to take a little time. There's some things like, for example, your hatred of bonds. I get it, but it's misplaced because a mistake was made in the recommendation of
bonds. Bought individual. Yeah, the Washington.
Right,
but
a lot of brokers, were selling those.
Sure,
you see,
absolutely.
The problem that you have, Lynn, is that in the past you've been sold things, you haven't been advised, and that's the key to finding a good advisor. Somebody who actually advises doesn't sell. So here's what: just hold on, and we're going to give you Tom. What do you want to do, Tom?
The 800 number.
Okay, give 800-386-3004. Ask for Tom.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hey there, welcome back to the show. All is well, all is right with the world. Tom is connected, I'm connected, you are connected. We are going to get together and make money. You can call us at 855-935-TALK and our office number. And please, Lynn, call and talk to Tom. He'll help you go through this because there's a lot to go through. And that's 800-386-3004. 800-386-3004.
Just make sure you're going the right direction. I didn't know that about Pure. It sounds like their fees are a little bit high, but again, look at all that. Yeah, it's not outrageous.
But they are a fiduciary, so that's good.
They are.
We give them that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. But I truly don't know enough about them.
Yeah. So they've been around for 15 years.
Yeah, they manage $4 billion.
Yeah, they are up and down, I think, the West Coast. So at any rate. Call me and I'll help you. 800-386-3004. Those of you who listen to the show for a long time know that we don't do this generally on the show because we want you to go out, find people that'll you can trust. But in this case, let's get you on the right
We didn't suggest them, but we do have suggestions of a number of firms that we know better. I mean, it doesn't mean we're recommending them because we're not, but that's at talkingrealmoney.com, talkingrealmoney.com/help/help. Mark, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hello, man. Don, really, we've been sending a lot of good thoughts your way, buddy.
Thank you, man, so much.
Questions for you guys. I think, first of all, I listened to the audio version of We're Talking Millions, and you were flawless, so I appreciate that. But I have my wife following the Paul Merriman Two Funds for Life, and the retirement date closest to her is 2035, and I kind of wanted to put my foot on the gas a little bit. So I put her in the 2050. This is theoretically money we'll never need. So I just kind of wanted to do that a little bit. I want to check on that. And if you're familiar with the allocation, Chris Pederson's basic guideline is 1.5 times your age goes to the target date fund. So for us, that'd be 75% target date, 25% small cap value. But again, I want to put my foot on the gas and go 65-35. Of the 35, I went 20% AVUV, 15% AVDV, get a little international small cap value. Just where are you guys at with kind of the way I kind of went off on a tangent trying to put my foot on the gas with her retirement a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, again, how soon until she may or may not need that money that you don't think she's going to use?
20 years at the earliest.
Okay, so 20 years. I mean, so part of the, and that's one part, but the other part, frankly, Mark, that you need to know is if she were ever to wake up one day and see the balance had gone down by
40%. Wait, has she been sleeping the whole time with him?
Good point. That could lead to some conflict.
We're still married after I'm feeling Rip Van Winkle-ish.
So, I mean, that's, if she can take the ups and downs of, because in a 2050, I imagine you're 80% in stocks. Then you throw in the small value, you throw in the international small value. Let's just step back. Overall, I like that approach because I think it's very reasonable. Because when you buy the, you know, the total market or one of the target date funds, you end up with very, very, very little of the things that have made better, bigger returns. So I think you're right there, Mark. The question really is, can she take the ups and downs if things go down, as they very well may?
And because it's really more a matter, it's always more a matter of psychology than practicality, than financial information or knowledge. It's really more about how people feel. And you got to make sure that the portfolio feels good. And by the way, this portfolio is 85-15.
Yeah, and then you're already, so then you're in addition, only 15% bonds, then you're tilting.
Yeah, and then you're tilting to small value, making it far more aggressive. It's that Tom's point is the most important one to take from all this. How fear, the fear factor. You got to factor in the fear factor. If you don't factor in the fear factor, then fear gets the better of you and you freak
out.
You
want to see if we can, you want to see if we can get a second question in real quick or not?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Because
then we'll rush them.
Yeah, okay.
Because you can't get away from the news break at the bottom of the hour.
Nope.
For some reason, the news waits for no man.
Indeed, it doesn't.
Or woman. The news doesn't wait. The news is happening right now, and we have to share it with you. But if you want to call us, we'll get you in. We will get you in at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. On this little thing where we, I don't know, talk about money all the time and try to do it honestly, forthrightly.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Hello, everyone. Don here, Tom there, talking real money, the show to which you are listening. Thank you for doing so. And if you'd like to call and have a word with us, either positive or negative.
Not like that.
If you'd like, I want to have a word with you, Thomas.
Yeah, that's never a good sign.
No, it's never a good sign. Or when it's Thomas Charles Cock.
Oh, God. God, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, did your parents ever do that from, like, downstairs?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Thomas
sure.
Charles Cock, you get down here right this minute.
In fact, I just start running when I hear that. I run one way.
To this day, even right into his 60s, it's like,
he'd see me out the door in about 2 seconds.
855-935-TALK. Call us. Just like Sam did. Sam, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Pleasure to talk to you. I've been listening to you for a lot of years. I not only appreciate the advice that you give, but I also appreciate the unintended sort of technical comic relief that you guys have on an almost weekly basis.
Oh, God. Come on. All right. Next call. Thanks, Sam. Thank
you. You know,
for your call.
And really, the main reason for this is because Tom refuses to get in his car and drive across the bridge.
Yeah.
He just doesn't want to drive across the bridge.
I'm like all of America. Wait, I'm like the rest of America. Nobody goes to work anymore. Why would we? Yeah. I'm in my house. It's a nice place.
I'm 3,000 miles away. I have an excuse. He won't get in his darn car and drive into Seattle proper.
How many of the rest of you aren't going in their cars and going to work either? So come on, that's like everybody else, right?
I just want you to know how much it is appreciated. Like I said, I've been listening to you for years, usually while I'm riding my lawnmower on a sunny Sunday afternoon, or Saturday afternoon, I should say. But at any rate, I think I have a...
Riding his lawnmower across the bridge to get to Seattle.
Watch out for the Blue Angels, because they're going to buzz you.
There we go.
All right, go ahead.
How can we help you, sir?
I think I have a simple question, and don't call me sir, that's my dad. I'm a longtime state employee, just recently retired, 40 years. My wife is about to retire. She's also a longtime state employee, Washington State, over 35 years herself. Between our pensions and Social Security, all of our expenses are well covered. We have absolutely no debt at all. But fortunately, some years ago, I invested in deferred comp, and so did she, deferred compensation program in Washington state government. And we've accumulated somewhere in the neighborhood of about $750,000 in that program. And it's money we don't need for on day-to-day, month-to-month, ongoing expenses. It's just like extra money, and it's a wonderful thing. but it's sitting in this the deferred compensation accounts. And I have a friend who works for an investment company, and he keeps telling me that the best thing for me to do at this point is to convert that all to a 401k at this point. And the only thing for me that
wait. To an IRA, you mean? To an individual retirement account?
Perhaps that's it. But the thing about it for me is, at some point, I want to access that money to, you know, to do a variety of things with it. Give it to my children, or, you know, maybe spend a whole bunch of it if I feel like I want to buy something. But I don't need the money, but I want to be able to access it. But he keeps getting after me about, no, you need to convert that from your deferred comp to a 401. And I thought, something funky there. And so I thought I'd give you guys a call.
Okay, but let's just make sure we got the nomenclature right here, because you wouldn't take your deferred comp and move that to a 401k plan.
You couldn't.
You could if you was moving to a new employer.
A new employer.
You could do that. Yeah, you could do that.
But his friend is in the financial services industry.
Yeah, my guess is they're saying move it to a nice individual retirement account where I can manage for you. Mm-hmm. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. I hate to be cynical for you and your wife. And then, by the way, that would open up some possibilities, whether you hired him or not, around Roth conversions, around qualified charitable distributions. There are more things you could do from the individual retirement account than you could from the deferred comp.
Yes.
I don't have any argument with that. Here's the argument.
Yeah, please. The deferred comp argument.
The deferred comp plan in Washington State, pretty doggone good. The funds are pretty good. The costs are exceedingly low. And so it's a trade-off, right? Yeah, no, it's a pretty good plan. Mm-hmm. So that would be the reason that I might not want to do it.
Can I ask a question,
Sam? Absolutely.
Do you know the name of the firm? You don't have to tell. Don't want your friend's name. Is it a big firm for which he works?
It's enormous. Yeah, it's huge.
What's the name of it? Because we can say the name.
It's Edward Jones.
Oh, he's trying to sell you stuff. Done. There we go.
Well, that's what
Ed is not a 100% fiduciary.
How much money's in this account?
He said 750.
About 750,000. Yeah.
Okay. So, is your friendship worth 5% of that?
Absolutely not.
That's about how much money he would make on this. Maybe if he used Breakpoints, 3 or 4%. But odds are, he's going to make really good money.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, VESTORY.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
855-935-TALK is our phone number. That's 855-935-8255. Now it is time for the benefit of the doubt segment of Talking Real Money.
I got to hear you do this. This is going to be good, man.
Let's give the Edward Jones guy the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Because we know from experience that 9 times out of 10, maybe it's 8 times out of 10, but a lot of the times out of 10, Ed Jones brokers put people in American funds. They have a very, very tight relationship with Funds Group.
And American funds are actively managed commission products.
Right. The commission on most American funds is 5.75%. So if he didn't...
How much is your love worth? I love that.
If he didn't do all American funds, if he just did $100,000 in American, $100,000 in Oppenheimer, all these various things, then he would make up to $43,000 in commissions.
Oh!
Okay, wait. However, benefit of the doubt. Remember, this is the benefit of the doubt segment.
Oh, yeah. Never miss it.
Let's say he put the whole $750,000... into just American funds, which he may very well do. Now, it's not good for him if he does this, because the commission drops to $11,250.
Because of breakpoints,
what are called breakpoints. At $750,000, the commission goes down to 1.5%.
Oh, barely get by.
However, the broker will get every year 0.25% from the annual fees that you pay to the American funds, which on an annual basis would average probably about $15,000. $4,500 a year. $4,500 a year on that $750. That's at 0.06% or 0.6%.
Okay. 0.6. Got it.
If you put that money into the Vanguard Total World Stock Index Fund, your total fees would be around $500 and some odd dollars a year.
But you don't get the friendship nor the help.
And you pay a lot less for not getting it.
How much is your love worth?
How much is your love worth? And with the other problem with American funds is that their portfolios are all of their U.S. equity portfolios are very, very similar.
Basically the same thing. They call it, you know, all these different names.
And they have some internationals, and they have some. But you're not going to get the kind of portfolio.
You didn't even bring up the fact of the expense ratio.
I said.
Just there, right there. But if you went to go use exchange-traded funds that you could buy for 0.1.
That was the Vanguard.
Way cheaper than the average expense ratio on those American funds, which is going to be 0.6?
Yeah, 0.6, 0.7. Just depends on the fund.
Easy to do the math, yeah. So,
what's your friendship worth? This is why we don't think this should ever be a friend relationship. Because this really, once people figure out what their friends are making off of them, it destroys friendships. But this is what the firms are counting on. They are counting on that relationship sell.
That's true.
That's what I was told to do when I was in my mid-20s when I started with Dean Witter. We were told to sell every relative we could, to sell every friend we had, get everybody, to have them at least do a $2,000 IRA with us. Do something to make a commish. 855-935-TALK is our number here. Give us a call. And Richard, you're next. Welcome to Talking
Real Money. And Richard, before you go, next week we're still debating whether Don should be on the show or not. Do you think he should be on the show next week?
Oh, jeez. Put him in a bad position.
He says sure. Okay. There you go. There's one vote for you. I had to work hard to get that vote, too, so it wasn't easy.
Yep. Two brains are better than one, right? Excuse me.
Well, so two brains are necessary in our
case.
Two brains barely equal one in this case.
So here's my question. So I work with a fiduciary firm advisor. They're in I'm in Washington, but they're actually Boston based because I started with them back there many years ago. Actually, like what they're doing. I'm at the point in life where I'd rather see my portfolio when the market goes up, 3%, and I'm only getting 1.5%. But when it goes down, I'm also getting half of the loss, and I'm good with that. So they're very much protecting principle, but keeping the growth going. They're at a 1.25% of assets, and this is my part that I don't ever know, and I want to know how to ask in a way that's responsible for me. And you kind of talked about it a little bit. When you're on a fiduciary percent basis of your portfolio, are there trades that they are making other monies on it outside of what's called the 1.25% that you're not aware of? And do I have a right to ask that?
There better not be.
I live near an airport. Hang on, we got an airplane going over here. My apologies.
It's one of Tom's.
No, because mine are all locked up in some museum by now.
So Don
already said this correctly, Richard. The fact is, no, they should not be, because
if they're 100%.
No, there should be no backdoor deal.
You should ask, and any advisor worth his or her salt is going to go, thank you for asking.
Yeah, absolutely.
We totally want, because the fiduciary advisors are all about transparency. True fiduciaries love telling you the honest truth.
Got it.
And let me tell you one other thing. How much money do you have with your advisor?
About a little under $3 million.
Negotiate.
1.25 on the entire thing.
Negotiate.
Well, it's not. Yeah. Well, there is, but not everything's within that 1.25. You're right. There is within that. I've got some 529s for my grandchildren.
Yeah. No. But how much is being managed by the firm?
Managing is about 2.5. four, I think.
Okay. No, you let me tell you one thing about fee-only advisory fees. They are negotiable, particularly when you tell them that there are other funds who that on that amount would be charging you 70 or 80 basis points.
Half. Or less.
Yes.
Or less. So I would say, hey, guys.
Merrill. Yeah.
What?
They were with Merrill when I first started with them, and that was where it was like they left because they felt like their hands were tied. They couldn't do certain things, and the fees were higher because of Merrill. They actually knocked it down since we've been doing it. And we could act that. I got that conversation. I understand that.
Knock it down again. No, I honestly believe because there is fee compression in our industry going on right now. That anyone who is much over one on a million, needs to is at the higher end, and one and a quarter on 3 million really should be with most firms somewhere. It should be that at the very very highest 1%, very highest. So negotiate. It is negotiable. All you have to do is do like I did with T-Mobile, and I said, I'm really thinking about going to Verizon if you guys don't improve your doggone service. And at least they tried. We're going to see what happens. But sometimes you have to say, guys, I love you to pieces, but this is a business decision. And I really would I'd like you to consider taking me down to 1%. I've been here for a long time. I'm a loyal client. I'm a good source of referrals. And 1.25% is high on 3 million in the industry now. Even Merrill lowered their fees way down. Way down. So consider.
My phone just lit up. A bunch of clients are calling, so I got to take these and see if I can negotiate
the fees. See, we're below one way below one on a million. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hi there, welcome. I'm Don. Tom snuck out for a minute. But we only have about a minute left anyway. Oh, no, we have like 30 seconds. Just wanted to remind you, this is something we do for everybody, and not many firms do it. In fact, I don't know if any do it. But we help anybody, anywhere, anytime, manage some of their basic money problems or go through that confusing portfolio and try to give you some ideas without obligation, without cost, and without a high-pressure sales pitch. Tom left the headphone on, and I can hear myself. All you have to do to set up an appointment to get that done with one of our fee-only 100% fiduciary advisors, and they won't charge you a fee, is to go to Vestry.com and set up an appointment or call that number, 800-386-3004. So go either call that or go to Vestry, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.